Jared Daffy from tab.com.au. By the way, a big shout out to, on behalf of Wingman, of course, very exciting news around Wingman and what's happening with the campaign here at Sky Sports Radio. We'll get to that very shortly. But shout out to Paul, who's a listener to the program out there at the Vicar Hotel at Dural. He's following the program all the time, and he's taken a heap of Wingman beer to sell out of there. Good on you, Paul.
We can endorse said product.
We can. We'd like to endorse a bit more, but anyway, we'll get to that during the course of the week as well. Goodbye, Queensland and South Australia and Northern Territory and Tasmania.
But,
Raymond, if you would like to listen, you can. Yeah, where at? SkySportsRadio.com.au. You're rock solid, Raymond. All right, we've got the news coming up. After that, we're going to have a chat with Vin Cox. He's the general manager, Godolphin Australia. Wow, what a day they had. We'll get a sports update. And Phil Moss and Dean Bulldog Ritchie will come along for the ride. By the way, just on this, Jared, from what I understand, the Wentworthville Magpies were...
I'm Sarah Womby. RSPCA South Australia supporters will take to the streets to call for the state to phase out its participation in the live export trade. With live exports again being shipped from Fremantle in Western Australia, there are fears the trade may resume in Port Adelaide as the federal government's four-month ban on live exports to the Middle East has ended. A community rally will take place in the CBD today. A man from New South Wales has been extradited to Western Australia over cold case sexual assault charges dating back to 1990. Police say the 54-year-old abducted two teenage girls at gunpoint from a train station before assaulting one of them in nearby bushland. He faces court today. Less than 1 in 10 Australians with high blood pressure or cholesterol realise their risk factors for a heart attack. The study from the Heart Foundation is being released to mark World Heart Day. The Foundation's General Manager of Heart Health, Bill Stavresky, says people need to know the red flags for heart disease, including cholesterol and blood pressure.
Both of them have significant risk for heart disease. They either stiffen the arteries or clog up the arteries, and what we do know is generally there are no warning signs for both. The warning sign usually is a heart attack, and at that stage it can be too late.
Also in news, dozens of rowdy Richmond fans have been arrested on the streets of Melbourne during celebrations for the Tigers' AFL Grand Final win over GWS. And promoters of a plan to build a floating pub over crocodile-infested waters in the Northern Territory's Corroboree Billabong claim the development is no more dangerous than sightseeing on a boat. Overseas, US President Donald Trump told the Russians back in 2017 he was not concerned about interference in elections, implying that everyone does it. Our U.S. correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
The U.S. did the same in other countries, so the president is not concerned about possible Russian interference in elections. That was the message to the Russians during a now infamous May 2017 meeting between President Donald Trump and longtime Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The Washington Post confirms the comments have not been previously reported, and that the conversations prompted White House officials to severely restrict access to these and other memos. White House officials told the newspaper they were particularly distressed because President Trump had been clearly briefed on how the Russians had interfered in the 2016 American elections, and he seemed to forgive them. As the impeachment inquiry goes forward, some are seeing this as evidence of a pattern. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Scientists in London have discovered a new way of treating patients with advanced melanoma, which increases their chance of survival by 50%. The BBC's James Gallagher has more.
A decade ago, people usually died within 9 months of being diagnosed with advanced melanoma. Once the cancer spread around the body, it was almost impossible to recover. The difference now is immunotherapy drugs. They allow the body's immune system to attack a cancer wherever it has spread. A clinical trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine tested two drugs. More than half of patients given the combination were alive 5 years later.
And a judge in Brazil has issued a restraining order against a former attorney general after he admitted carrying a gun inside the Supreme Court to kill one of the justices. This is AN News. Richmond is celebrating its second AFL premiership in 3 years after smashing GWS by 89 points. The Tigers held the Giants to just 3-7 as they notched up the third biggest win in grand final history. Captain Trent Cotchin says he's proud.
Lots of guts, a lot of determination, but just sticking to process and everyone playing their role. And you know, that's why we've become a special organisation. you know, you look around the rooms and everyone's had a moment throughout the year where, you know, they've effectively been a leader and committed something a little bit special to the group. So, you know, I'm just grateful to be, you know, I'm very, very lucky to be a leader of such a special group of guys.
GWS coach Leon Cameron says they didn't perform to their own expectations.
It's a Saturday in September that you want to be at, but clearly after quarter time, we, as a footy club, didn't play a brand that could stand up to Richmond.
The Sydney Roosters are through to the NRL Grand Final for the second year running after edging out the Melbourne Storm 14-6 at the SCG. The Roosters have a chance to be the first side to claim back-to-back premierships since the Broncos in 1992-93. Wins to South Africa, Japan and Argentina at the Rugby World Cup, and Australia's Alex de Minaurs through to the final at the Zhuhai Open in China after defeating Spaniard Roberto Bautista Agut in straight sets. Australian Independent Radio News.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Lazarus. Here goes Lazarus, the winner of 14 Group 1 races, and Lazarus presses forward now, moves alongside of his old foe Tiger Tara hitting down the back, and Lazarus charged up to hit the lead. It's Lazarus, Soho Tribeca, Lazarus in front from Soho Tribeca, Lazarus keeps giving, the miracle horse in front, and Lazarus has done it again.
Lazarus, standing at Yuravee Stud in New South Wales.
Visit yuravee.com.au.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Get caught using a mobile phone illegally this coming long weekend, and you'll face double the points. With double demerits in force Friday the 4th till Monday the 7th of October. You can stop it or cop it. In Kellyville, emergency roadworks, Memorial Avenue at Windsor Road. In Bondi Junction, starting to get busy approaching the shopping centres. And in Parramatta, a couple of rugby league grand finals run at Bankwest this afternoon. It'll get busy from lunchtime. These school holidays, you can save with Event Cinema's Family Saver Sessions every day before 5 p.m. Buy your tickets now at eventcinemas.com.au. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny today. Light winds becoming northeast to southeasterly, 15 to 25 k's in the early afternoon. Heading for a top temperature of 21 degrees in Sydney. James, what about Port Macquarie and Bathurst forecasts for today?
Port Macquarie, it is mostly sunny for today and a maximum temperature of 22 degrees. That's perfect for a day at the races. In Bathurst, the morning frost, mostly sunny and a maximum temperature of 20 degrees.
What a victory for Japan!
Sports Radio, the big sports breakfast weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It is the final hour on this Sunday morning. We know our grand finalists, Raymond. That is the Roosters up against the Raiders. So it's Ricky's Raiders up against Robbo's Roosters. We can
know who you're going for, James.
What's that?
I know who you're going
for. Hang on, mate. I'll be impartial all week. You know that.
Oh, you played for the club. You've got to go for the Roosters.
Yeah, it's all right. Go the red, white and blue. 13-53-53, if you want to have your say about that. We've had an AFL grand final that was, well, to describe it as lopsided is an understatement. It was a thrashing for the poor old Greater Western Sydney Giants. Congratulations to Richmond and Dustin Martin and Damien Hardwick. And it's an interesting story with Damien Hardwick. He won the premiership in 2017. Prior to that, he was
almost Gonski.
See you later. Out
almost
the door.
Gonski.
They stuck with him, and he's delivered in spades, you would have to say. They're now a club with over 100,000 members.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely extraordinary.
There you go. We'll take your thoughts on the open line, 1353 53, and, of course, the SMS 0419 767 272. We've got the Wingman beer to give away. That's courtesy of Wingman, obviously, and that's for the person who gives us the best nomination for
talk topic,
which is
about sporting debuts on the back of Merlin Kickett's outstanding effort, his very first game for Richmond yesterday.
Yes, and we've had a couple of good nominations for that one as well. Johnny Martin from Sun Craig has been installed as a short prize favourite on that one.
And we're also giving away a new prize today. That's the General Chow's restaurant at Chatswood.
Yes.
And that is for, or how'd you describe it, James, bringing
Eastern philosophy
into
Western culture.
I don't even know what that means. But
me
anyway.
Neither. All I know is it's $250.
Okay.
And apparently it's good. We don't know yet. So anyone listening out there from General Chow.
So how can they win it? Seriously?
To make us think.
Okay. That's not hard. We should have started the show. But anyway.
Well, a lot of people would have suggested that you should have started at about 7 o'clock. But anyway, if anyone could kick our brain into gear. We had a very thoughtful SMS last week. And I think that's what encourage us to make us think outside the square.
It's $250 at General Chow's. That is a prize worth winning. And
well, we don't know whether it is or not yet.
What are you saying?
Well, we haven't been there.
No, I'm working on that. Don't worry. I had discussions with the people.
You had one job during the week.
And the invitation's wide open for us to go and sample said product.
Okay.
So we can endorse it thoroughly.
And we're going to walk in with a carton of Wingman over the shoulder and say, we're ready, General Chow. By the way, this comes in from John, the Murrurundi Sea Eagle, and he immediately goes to the bottom of the list.
Why?
When it comes to winning. Jimmy, don't you ever have a go at Ray again about the quiz. Your voice inflection on the two multiple choice questions was cheating at its worst.
Oh, man, spot on. Hey, listen, we did have a little issue earlier with the Caulfield scratching, so I'll just run through them quickly. We're about to be joined by Godolphin's Vin Cox. I've got a big day yesterday and a big day at Caulfield today, but
yes,
these are the Caulfield scratchings. I'll just give the numbers quickly for the Underwood Stakes meeting. Race 1, numbers 1, 4, 5 and 12. That's 1, 4, 5 and 12. Race 2, numbers 3 and 13. 3 and 13. Race 3, numbers 7, 8 and 12. 7, 8 and 12. Race 4, number 9. Race 5, numbers 9, 15 and the emergency number 18. Race 6, number 4. Race 7, the Underwood Stakes, just the one scratching, number 9. Race 7, number 9. On to race 8, numbers 3, 4, 5, 7, 16 and 17. That's race 8, numbers 3, 4, 5, 7, 16 and 17. And race 9, numbers 1, 4, 7, 12, 13 and 16. That's numbers 1, 4, 7, 12, 13 and 16. James?
Big day for Godolphin. You mentioned yesterday the incredible performance, a brave performance in the end from Bivouac to win the DeBortley Wines Golden Rose. Their general manager of Godolphin in Australia is Vin Cox. He's joining us on the line. G'day, Vin.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Morning,
yeah,
Vin.
Really well. What do you think of the Wingman beer and the General Chow? You've been on hold for quite... Sorry, mate. Apologies for that, mate.
It sounds like when you're doing it, count me in, obviously.
All right, we'll rely on that one. I think the thing that struck me about the win of Bivouac yesterday was the fighting spirit and the toughness. Did you realise that the horse had that in spades?
Oh, look, we've always had a very high opinion of the horse. At the 100 metres, I thought, hello, we're in trouble now. But, look, he, as you say, he lifted himself off the canvas and fought off. Yes. He's quite an outstanding horse in his own right. Mm. Just a big performance from a really, really good colt. Mm.
Vin, I was talking to James Cummings during the week, and he admitted there's an edict to try and turn these good colts into stallions.
Sure.
The Golden Rose is a stallion-making race. Tick that box yesterday, because on the open market, you'd have a better idea than me. I dare say Bivouac could be worth probably 20 mil minimum now.
Yeah, something like that. He'd be, he's worth a lot of money. He's by Exceed Excel, who's by far and away the most successful reverse shuttle stallion ever.
He's
from a very, very good family, a family that Godolphin has owned for many generations. He's a highly valuable horse, and he's now won the Group 1, and the case of now building his resume into an even bigger profile.
Damien Hardwick will tell you that there was no risk whatsoever with Marlon Kickett because he knew his player and therefore plays him in his first game in an AFL grand final. It's a little bit the same. He's got a few more runs on the bird than Marlon Kickett is Huey Bowman after that extended breakout because of that break. But it's amazing how he comes back in and gets the job done in what was a highly competitive race for him. And I guess that justifies the decision by James.
Absolutely. You know, he's the best jockey in the country, or certainly one of the best. And just look at his finger yesterday. It's remarkable that he's actually riding on the day. It's, you know, the scars are still there. He's got two pins in his finger and taped up quite significantly. So, you know, high pressure Group 1 racing in a very, very tight finish. Full credit to you. Just big performance all around.
Vin, was it touch and go? Was Godolphin ever thinking, look, Hugh, you know, your fitness has got to be in doubt. This is worth so much in so many ways to the operation with Bivouac. Was it ever any question about Huey being available? Or?
Not really. I mean, Huey's a professional and it was Huey's call. Huey would have said, look, I'm not up to it. Let's look elsewhere. So, but, you know, he said all along, we're 100%, we're good to go. So, you take that on face value.
Yeah. Osborne Bulls and or Bivouac, I think, is nearly the situation, Vin.
Oh, that's what plenty want to say. There was quite a good mare that trialled last week for the lead. still floating around. So, and, you know, Tressing's there. He's probably not quite in that trifecta. But yeah, we're in a very strong position. And we're not going to make any decisions today or tomorrow and just see where we sit. Obviously, Osborne's got to run this next week. And there's, Bivouac, whether we want to take on the older horses, the heavyweights, if you like. He's still a young boy, and that'll be lining up be like playing test football when you've come out of schoolboy football.
So, sure.
The analogy, I think, is a pretty strong one there. And then whether Elise, do we want to take her there or what? So, and then, of course, there's the odd vacant slot holder. They might be looking for a runner as well. There's a bit to play out.
Yeah. Then on that, then Trekking, will he go to the Scalacci Stakes, which has that win and you're in status for the Everest?
That's our intent at the moment, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And with Elise, she won't run until Everest Day, whether that's the Sydney Stakes or the Everest. And back to Bivouac, is it fair to say you've got to give serious thought to the Everest because they seem to be a really good group of three-year-old colts this season?
Oh, that race yesterday was as deep a three-year-old race as I've seen in many years.
Yeah.
You know, any one of those horses, I said to someone just before the race, if any one of them won, you'd say, yeah, fair enough. He's there. Every horse was there on their own merit. Bivouac, it's just a case of do we really want to throw him in the deep end? And, within the camp, there's different views on it. And plenty were being aired late last night over the last week. what we're doing yet, like, as I say, we haven't decided. We're still not more talking to do a lot and see where our other horses are at.
He's a marvel, isn't he, Hartnell? He's running around again today in the Underwood. Huey Bowman's taken the ride on that one. A number of other runners today as well. Vin, do you have a best for the listeners?
You've only ever asked me once.
Don't worry. You were getting on the plane to Tasmania. We thought, here we are. We're in on the rort here. He's going down to present himself the trophy.
No, it didn't quite work out. Not to worry. But, yeah, like I say to a lot of people, we'll have three runners in the race. I'll back two and the other one wins. I think probably our best is we've got three in the fillies race, and we've got a lot of time for Flip. Tammy's very, very good, and Liar. So those three, that's three outstanding fillies. But probably if I had to lean one way, I'd lean towards Flip.
Yeah, and okay. old Hartnell, he's three runs back of, again, he's just so competitive, isn't he?
He's evergreen, 9 years of age, and fighting, just racing, basically at his best. Yeah. Last year, he was an Epsom winner at 8 years of age. And we're still throwing him in the deep end, and he's still trading blows with him. It'd be wonderful to see if he could lob today. It'd be just sensational. I'd tear the grandstand down.
Would you have sent Reece Hodge off?
No.
No.
For
those people who don't know, Vin's a former first grade referee in Sydney Club Rugby from a long period of time, and
it's a bizarre decision.
How are you going to get that Where are you going to watch the Wallabies in Wales today? I'm presuming you're down at Melbourne.
Well, yeah, we'll be down at Melbourne, and we're going to be on the plane coming back when it's on. So I'm going to tape it and then turn my phone off.
So no text messages to you, Vin, no score updates,
if anyone's listening, I don't want to have to text me. But I'm looking forward to watching the rugby tonight. It's very exciting. What about that? What about the Japanese beating Ireland?
Extraordinary. Extraordinary. That's what sport can do.
Absolutely. Oh, that's why we love it.
Mm. Great theatre in that.
Absolutely. Hey, well done yesterday. Big day again today, Vin. Appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
No worries at all. Good to talk, lads.
Thanks, Vin. Vin Cox there, General Manager of Godolphin Australia. They did have a fantastic day. 13:53:53, that's the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with a sports update.
Here comes cross-counter. Cross-counter coming at Marbello. Cross-counter's flying. The Blue Army have done it at last. Cross-counter has won the Melbourne Cup from Marbello, a Prince of Aaron Finch.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
In the courtyard of a pub, some people get to talking and decide to split a bag of peanuts or go halves in a bowl of chips. Others consider sharing something bigger, like a cheese board. Then there are those who go, how about everybody chips in and buys a racehorse? They soon realise that's unlikely. So they get excited about taking out a group quaddie together instead. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Does your small business need new equipment, another renovation, a little more stock, or even some extra staff? A business loan could help. Look no further than OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group are trusted by over 80,000 small businesses worldwide and have already lent over $10 billion globally. So for a loan to grow your business with money in your account as fast as the next business day, visit ondeck.com.au now. All loans are subject to lender approval.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
Sydney Roosters' Luke Keary will be sweating on the NRL charge sheet come midday today, hoping to be cleared from an incident in last night's prelim final win over Melbourne. Keary was penalised for a swinging arm that knocked out Felice Kafusi in the 25th minute, the second rower unable to return to the game. The Roosters beat the Storm 14-6 after leading 8-0 at half-time and are 80 minutes away from becoming the first team in 26 years to win back-to-back NRL grand finals when they take on Canberra next Sunday night. Meantime, the Warriors became the first team to beat Brisbane in NRLW history, remaining in finals contention with a 10-8 win at the SCG. Also yesterday in Ron Massey Cup in the grand final, Wente 32 beat St Mary's 14, and in the Sydney Shield, Wright Eastwood 22 over Cabramatta 12. Today it's Canberra and Souths in the Jersey Flegg grand final. Wentworth Phil playing Newtown in the Canterbury Cup decider. Both those games are at Bankwest. GWS coach Leon Cameron returns home with mixed emotions. Disappointed after the Giants were thrashed by Richmond in yesterday's AFL Grand Final by 89 points, but proud to have played on the big stage for the first time. Asked if he thought the semi against Brisbane and the battle with Collingwood, both in the balance until the siren, sucked too much energy heading into the decider, Cameron said he wasn't sure, but is looking forward to hitting the ground running come pre-season and season 2020. In an extraordinary upset, hosts Japan defeated Ireland 19-12 to win their second match at the Rugby World Cup. The Brave Blossoms are on track to possibly reach the knockout stages for the first time, now topping Pool A. Argentina defeated Tonga 28-12 in the other match. The Wallabies play their second match against Wales this afternoon around 5:45. the Australian women's basketball team have missed out on a spot in the Asia Cup gold medal game following their 76-64 loss to Japan in the semis. The Opals will play South Korea in the bronze medal game. Aussie Amanda Spratt has claimed the bronze in the women's road race at the Road Cycling World Championships in England, overhauling American Chloe Digit on the final lap to cross in third place. Alex de Minaur is into the final of the Zhuhai Tennis Championships in China after a straight set semi-final win over Roberto Bautista Agut. He'll take on Frenchman Adrian Manarino tonight in the final. Liverpool and Manchester City have put some distance between themselves and the rest of the EPL with wins overnight. Liverpool were pushed before defeating Sheffield United 1-0, and Man City scored two late goals to beat Everton 3-1. Elsewhere, Aston Villa and Burnley 2-2, Wolverhampton 2, Everton 0. Bournemouth and West Ham 2-2, Tottenham 2, Southampton 1, Chelsea 2-0 over Brighton, and Crystal Palace 2-0 over Norwich. After a 12-year absence, softball will return to the Olympics next year in Tokyo, and our team, the Aussie Spirit, has qualified after winning the Asia-Oceania qualifying tournament in China. Aussie Jess Fox won silver in the women's K1 final at the Canoe Slalom World Champs in Spain, missing out on the gold and automatic Olympic qualification by just 0.42 of a second, but she has secured a preliminary berth for Tokyo pending a final nomination. And Aussie Matthew Denny has qualified third best for the final of the discus at the World Athletics Championships in Doha. His best effort at 65.08 metres was 29 centimetres short of his PB, which he set last year. In the glamour event, the men's 100 metres, the US went 1-2. Christian Coleman came in first, running a season best 9.76 seconds, and Justin Gatlin was second with a time of 9.89. The time in Doha at the moment, boys, is 2:26 in the morning, mm-hmm. and we're in the middle of the 50-kilometre walk. And that they're only at that 33-kilometre mark, so that could go for another 2 hours or so. But just quickly, the women's marathon also was run overnight, won by Ruth Chepngetich from Kenya in a time of 2 hours, 32 minutes and 43 seconds, yeah. which is the slowest winning time in 3.5 decades. Obviously, it was conditions. A race of endurance yeah. rather than time. Just finishing the race was an effort in itself. Obviously, the run after midnight because of the heat and the humidity. When she crossed the finish line at 2:34 in the morning, it was 31 degrees Celsius and 77% humidity.
Wow. At what time was that, Tan?
2:34 in the morning.
At midnight. Didn't half the men not make it or something?
Well, in the women's marathon, of the 68 runners, only 40 managed to finish.
Wow.
There was a makeshift hospital set up at the finish line, and the athletes literally were scooped up in golf buggies where they collapsed and taken to this hospital
bizarre,
at the finish line.
Yeah.
And an interesting stat, all three Ethiopian runners dropped out before the race got past halfway.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. You don't hear that often, do you?
I'm just looking at the current temperature at Doha, 31 degrees. It got to a top of 39,
yes.
but 31, that's at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking from a World Cup point of view, when they play the World Cup in Qatar.
That's what all the confection was about. Yeah.
All the stadia are in air conditioned. Yeah.
The athletics, like the 100 metres, et cetera, they're all done in an air conditioned stadium.
So there was no concern from FIFA around carbon footprint or anything like that.
Funny about that. How about Christian Coleman, 9.76, seventh fastest of all time? He missed three drug tests in August and was allowed to go to Doha.
That's why he's called controversial.
It happens every year. Every major meet with something in the men's 100 metres, but you've got to question it, haven't you?
All right, Ten.
Silence is
the eels. The Eels are out. Who are you going for in this grand final?
I'm going for Canberra, but I think the Roosters will do it. I think they've got a team, a current team at the moment that are used to these big games, these grand finals, and they've got the experience. Perhaps that's what happened with GWS yesterday. Richmond were just a great team.
Proven big stage performers.
And in your famous quote, Jimmy, you've got to lose a grand final to win one.
Well, it used to be the case for a long, long time. And, of course, Richmond have been there or thereabouts for a long time. I think you've summed up what a lot of people in the rugby league
Correct.
World will be thinking this week.
Going for Canberra,
but I think the Roosters will win.
100%.
There you go. Thank you, Tam. We do appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to go to call. Where's Mossy?
Is Mossy coming in?
Is he coming in? We
have had a few callers before we go. People asking about Dean Lester. His selections for today's Underwood Stakes meeting at Caulfield. Stay tuned just after midday, and Dino will have all his tips for today's Underwood Stakes meeting at Caulfield. Jim?
Michael is on the line. G'day, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Michael.
How you going?
Yeah, terrific. What do you got for us, mate?
Johnny Reinberger.
Oh, yeah.
Legend. 75 Eastern Suburbs Grand Final.
Yeah.
38-0 against the Dragons.
Yeah, geez, it was tough viewing that.
Apparently he played, I think he played 10 minutes in the prelim final against Manly. Mark Harris broke his shoulder, and Johnny Reinberger was then selected as the starting centre in the grand final. Played one game and didn't play again, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm just checking that. I'm pretty sure he didn't play again. He played first grade cricket for Waverley too, Johnny Reinberger.
Yeah.
Just like Jack Gibson, who was the man who put him into that side. But as Jack Gibson said at the time, everyone was talking about what a risk it was. He said to me, it was no risk.
Yeah, perfect.
So there you go. Yep, one appearance.
One game for the grand final.
That was it. Grand final.
Didn't even make the prelim team, is that right?
No.
There you go, Michael. So his one and only game was in the 75 grand final. 30.
Yeah, go the Roosters, I say.
Well said, Michael. Just putting your little note.
Got a couple extras, I think, Michael's name.
Yeah, good on you, Michael. Thank you for that. 1353, the open line number. We've got Bob on the line there. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. How you going?
Morning,
really
Bob.
Well, mate.
My debut would have to be Brad Fittler as a teenager, schoolboy with the Penrith Panthers. Mm. It was a sensational game and a start of what nobody could have dreamed was going to happen.
Do you remember where it was when he played his first game?
I think it was Penrith Park and I think I was there.
Oh, I got a feeling it was at Arana Park, as it was called then, Campbelltown Stadium. And he came on. It was a very sandy field.
And he did a sidestep in the middle of the field.
Big sidestep. And he did the chip over the top.
That's
for
it.
A Greg Alexander try, I reckon. I think that was his first game.
Okay. And Ray, can I ask you a question about Friday night at the Valley? Did you watch?
Yeah, I watched the Moya and a couple other races, yeah.
You didn't happen to see the first race, did you?
Just run it past me again, Bob. Who was
A horse called Zuzak. Jumped up in the air at the start.
I did miss that. I'm sorry, mate. I wouldn't watch the footy probably.
Jumped out to last, worked his way up through the field, went for a run on the inside and they cut him out and he still finished third.
Okay.
He's a my runner's horse and I think we're going to have an awful lot of fun with him.
Zuzak, okay. I know the horse. So I watched the replay that sometime over the weekend, Bob, and good luck with that, Bob.
August 20, 1989, round 21, Penrith up against Western Suburbs, and it was Penrith winning 37 points to nil, and a 17-year-old.
Where was it, mate?
Brad Fittler made his NRL debut at Campbelltown Stadium.
There you go, you're
100%
right.
The referee was Tony Kelly from Cootamundra.
Mm.
There you go. Good on you, Bob. That was a good call, actually.
Zip,
good
yeah.
nomination. Up next, Phil Moss.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Time now to speak to Phil Moss, probably talk about football, I suppose. Go on,
That's
Raymond.
That's what he's on the show for.
Go on, Raymond. Tell him what you told me.
Oh, Mossy, he's given it to me because I walked in this morning and said, good morning, James. Liverpool went 7-0 and he just dismissed me immediately.
And then you said?
Well, what did I say after that?
Oh, and I think Manchester United are in trouble.
I did say, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Now we get to the bottom of it. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I can only imagine what it was like with you two eyes half open when you first met this morning. It would have been a very romantic moment.
Oh, no.
Oh, another one.
He was in a bad mood this morning.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you
I
were.
I wasn't, and then I was.
As soon as I walked in, you were. Yeah, okay.
Now I'm not.
But the harder thing,
Ray, is to pick when he's in a good mood.
Very, very good point, Mossy. I hope panel operator Hayme's going to cut that one up. That's brilliant. Hey, but Phil, seriously, 7-0 Liverpool, they started the season terrific, but only 1-0 against Sheffield United.
Yeah, they had to work very hard. I've got a new favourite goalkeeper over in England. His name's Dean Henderson because it was his hour that gave us the 3 points, really. In the end, that's the final wash-up. But Mane really should have scored his 50th and 51st goals for Liverpool, but wasn't his day in front of goal. But you've got to give real credit to Sheffield United. They were very dogged. They were very well organised. They made things very difficult, and as I said, it took a real goalkeeping howler. And you do feel sorry for Henderson because he was very good throughout, apart from that misdemeanour that gave us 3 points. But really, that's opened up a 10-point
gap between first and fourth already. Mm. We're only seven games in. So Liverpool and Man City, of course, got up overnight as well. You can just see the gulf in class between those two and the rest.
And was Jürgen named Coach of the Year during the course of the week as well?
I think he was.
Did he? Yeah, I think he got Coach of the Year, Jürgen. I suppose when you win the Champions League, you've got to be hard to beat from that point of view.
Yeah, you've got to be up there. But, mate, there's so many accolades for Liverpool. They all kind of get lost at the moment, Jimmy, don't they?
I wish they'd get lost at the moment. Brighton and Hove Albion, good to see a couple of Aussies in action there, although the wrong result against Chelsea.
Yeah, that's right. But Matty Ryan was an absolute star. He pulled off eight great saves, and he was beaten by a penalty and a deflection. So that's what it took for Chelsea to get past Brighton overnight. But as you said, Aaron Moy started, EPL started the season, played 64 minutes, which is great news for the Socceroos with that World Cup qualifier coming up on the 10th of October down there in Canberra against Nepal. And, it was Lampard's first EPL win at home at the Bridge after two draws and a loss. So big, big relief for him and his squad and the board, no doubt. From our point of view, just great to see Aaron Moy back on the pitch and starting games.
Hey, Phil, can you give Jimmy some good news? Man, you are off to a sluggish start. Tuesday morning, take on Arsenal at Old Trafford.
Well, here's the really good news. Apparently, Pogba's going nowhere in January, and apparently, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has got the full support of the board. Ed Woodward came out during the week and said they're playing the long game, they need patience. They signed Solskjaer with a plan. He's been getting a lot of support behind the scenes. A lot of people don't see, obviously, with the recruitment department, things and so forth. The only thing, and he said that the writer was, we expect silverware. As usual, watch this space. But look, it hasn't been a great start. There's no need to dwell on that. But the good news for Jimmy is Manchester United unbeaten in their last 12 against Arsenal at Old Trafford with 8 wins and 4 draws.
Okay.
You have to go all the way back to 2006 to find Arsenal's last win. The bad news is, to level things out, because I'm a Libran, so you like to be balanced, Arsenal are looking for consecutive EPL victories over Manchester United for the first time since 2006. So make of that what you will, Jimmy boy.
So isn't all of this, and I'm talking about the Glazer brothers, isn't it all comes down to how much are you able to pay for players?
Yeah, well, yes, but you've got to pick the right ones. The problem with Manchester United, I think I've said it before many times, is what do they stand for now? You know, post Sir Alex Ferguson, do they have a club-centred model? They have a way that they want to play, and you've got to find the right coach to fit that mould, obviously. He's going to bring his own ideas in, but I think we spoke about it last week. Since Sir Alex Ferguson, they haven't found the right fit. This time they've gone for DNA. But if you took Solskjaer's name off his CV, he would never have got the job. Not based on what he'd done as a manager. So he's in the job now. They've certainly tried to play more like the Manchester United way, but it's getting the balance of the squad right. It's not having a Pogba in the dressing room that makes it all about himself and things like that. So they just haven't found the right chemistry since Sir Alex walked out the door.
All right, mate, get into this multi, please.
Well, the multi, we've got two games to go. Leicester up against Newcastle at Leicester and Manchester United hosting Arsenal. I'm going to go for two home teams. Jimmy, you'll be pleased to know I am backing Manchester United for the second week in a row. I did that last week. They lost 2-0 to West Ham, so make it that what you will.
Yes, exactly. Fills me with an enormous amount of confidence. Don't tell me Bess Arbarisha. What's he doing?
He's
Bess
back.
Arbarisha.
Yeah.
Ah, Bess is back. That means a human headline for the A-League is back. It's great news. He's 34, and I did see signs of him starting to slow down a little bit when he left Melbourne Victory. He went over to the J-League with Sanfrecce Hiroshima. Didn't play a lot over there, but Mark Rudin has brought him back to the A-League. There was talk of him going back to Victory, but obviously with Kevin Muscat moving on and Marco Kurtz, the new manager there, it didn't materialise. Apparently Melbourne City were interested, but he's ended up at Western United, the new boys. Look, he'll be definitely in there first season. He'll be a crowd puller. He does divide opinion best. He's a real competitor.
it is good to see his profile back in the A-League. Let's just hope that he's still got his legs and he certainly knows how to score goals.
That's for sure. Hey, Mossy, you've got news of a major injury blow for Western Sydney Wanderers?
This is not a good one. Ray, if you're a Western Sydney Wanderers supporter, Radoslaw Majewski, who's the high-profile Polish signing, he's the creative midfielder, and it's a position of real angst, or it has been, for Marcus Babbel and the club, and he looked very, very good, particularly in that game against Sydney United. They won 7-0, but you know, it was what he did with the ball and took his goal very well. Anyway, it looks as though he's out for months with a potential ACL. I'm not sure if that's been confirmed overnight, but it happened in training the other day, and they don't really have a ready-made replacement for him. You know, they've got Mitchell Duke back, but he's a number nine or a winger. They've got Alex Meyer, obviously the football got. From Germany, but he's a number nine as well. So yeah, it's a big loss for them.
Just so you know, Zorba came into the studio today. He lives on the Central Coast.
He did not.
He did actually.
Mate,
Phil.
Check the tape. Thanks for support of the program too, by the way.
Oh, I'm going to have to flick him a text to congratulate him. First appearance in the studio in how long?
Oh, since last year's grand final.
No, Origin, wasn't it? Origin.
Oh, yeah, the Origin. Yeah. There you go. And well, by the way, Phil, he'll be back in next week as well.
Good for him. We're going to have to, I told you last week, we're going to have to organise a party in that studio. We both come in at the same time.
Absolutely. Then we'll go to General Chow, the Chasswood.
Sample set product. Oh,
love that. And don't forget Alimento down at Colloroy Beach. It serves the Zorba pizza.
The Zorba pizza.
There we go. There
you haven't heard that one.
So the Greek infused with the Italian. So that's going to cause some problems, you would have thought.
I have to say, it's a damn good pizza, if I may say so myself.
There you go. No plugging other restaurants other than those that are...
General Chow Chatswood.
General Chow Chatswood. General Chow Chatswood. Okay. Good on you, Mossy.
Been great fun, boys. Have a good one.
See you, Phil.
Phil Moss there. By the way, that multi, Mossy's multi, Leicester into a Man United, $1.52 into $2.40, $3.65. We'll take a break after the break. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in the rugby league.
For all the best in racing and the latest in sport, this is Sky Sports Radio. Coming to you via Bellingen, 87.6 FM. Ningen, 99 FM. Lake Cardjellico, 87.6 FM. And Mara, 103.7 FM.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
And here's a quick ball from Tedesco. Manu! Manu has scored for Sydney on the right side of the ground.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Just before we go to Dean Bulldog Richie, a couple of SMSs have come in. James, Eastern Philosophy, Cam Smith and Cooper Cronk being man enough to start to mend broken bridges. All the good times can get swept away by one issue that becomes the focus. Don't sweat the small stuff. Always realise the role sports heroes play in shaping Australian culture. So man up. Rexy Love Machine, there you go.
Yeah, well done, Sensei. We do appreciate that. Best debut, who cares? Go the Roosters. Does that get me an asterisk, Jimmy? It does, Stu. It does, but you need three to be winning today. By the way, here's a good one that's coming in just before we get to Dino. Boris Becker at Wimbledon. Anthony from Malabar.
Was he 16 or 85, wasn't it?
85.
Was he 16 or 17?
He was 17.
17.
17 years of age when he won it.
Boom, boom, Becker. Remember that?
Wow, that is a very strong and late nomination.
Bowie from Niue. East meets West. A contest Japan beats Ireland is a good start. There you go.
I don't mind that either. Good one, Bowie. Yeah, we're getting some good nominations. Mm. Remember, that'll be all for General Chow, the $250 voucher, and we'll be handing it out very shortly. Right now, though, time to talk some rugby league. We do it with the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Hello, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, man.
Hey, Dino.
All right, what do we think our combatants for the grand final? To be honest, based on what we've seen over the last two games, I reckon the best team wins both games, and it's set for a cracking grand final.
Yeah, it certainly will be, Jimmy. I think the fascinating part here is who will Sydney get behind?
Mm.
The Roosters are such a prolonged and sustained successful club, but there is a lot of jealousy. That's the word Nick Politis used last week. There's always been that innuendo over the cap and the superstars that they attract year on year. And there's a bit of dislike out there for the Chooks, whether that be right or wrong. Of course, Canberra aren't even based in Sydney, so it'll be very interesting to see who the fans of other clubs actually support in this game, because I get the feeling, guys, that albeit they're a Sydney club, that the Roosters actually may have less support on the big day for a team that is about 350 k's away.
Yeah, Dean, I think Tan might have summed it up. Hoping for a Canberra's win, but thinking the Roosters will be too good. I think probably a lot of people in that boat. Hey, Dino, is Luke Keary in any trouble if they hit on Kafusi?
Oh, he's in trouble, right? They'll probably announce something within the next hour or so. The mail I'm getting out is that the swinging arm and the alleged hair pull will probably be deemed as grade one. That would constitute a fine for both. So I'm thinking at this point, guys, and the official charge sheet hasn't come out, let me stress that, but the mail I'm getting is that it would more than likely be grade one, so he'd cop possibly two fines, Keary, but be right for the big one.
Oh, just looking at it again, I don't think there's any problem with the hair pull one. Zorba's word's not mine. If you have that much hair, you've got to expect it to get... He needs to lose a bit of hair, Felice Kafusi. No, I'm being flippant there, but I don't think there's any problem there. And just looking at it again on
where
that front
contact,
on angle,
reckon,
I reckon that it goes through... the shoulder first
and,
up
and
to the neck.
And goes up?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's further speculation, Dino, that the actual reason that Felice Kafusi stayed off the field was because of rib injuries as opposed to failing the HIA.
I guess it goes back to, Jimmy, to what Sam Burgess brought to the public this week in terms of, you know, should minor offences and whether you deemed Keary's swinging arm to be minor or not, preclude them from playing big games. Now, look, it wasn't the best book from Luke Keary, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't a good old-fashioned swinging arm. I mean, again, I sort of agree with Sam on this. To miss a grand final potentially for that would, in my eyes, be a travesty.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, Dino, we have spoken a lot about the Roosters so far, but what about the Raiders? They've beaten Melbourne twice in Melbourne. It's no fluke that they're in the grand final. Can they win it?
Oh, they can win it, Ray. I've got no doubt in my mind. Look, I tipped the Roosters at the start of the year, and I've said so on this show multiple times throughout the season. I think the Roosters will go back-to-back, and again, there's nothing I've seen so far that would alter my opinion there. But certainly Canberra will have a red-hot crack. I thought that game on Friday night had the most sustained physicality I think I've seen for the entire season. It started fierce and fiery, and it finished that way. It was such a physical game, and I just think Canberra had the extra 24 hours on the Roosters in terms of allocation of games, and they're going to need that. So I really believe the Raiders will be a bit beaten up after that game.
Were you okay with... Sorry, my fault. Were you okay with Papali being charged?
Yeah, I was. I thought that was pretty much right. They got it correct there. Look, it looked like it came off the ball. He had a wrapping motion. You know, it wasn't anything, again, I repeat, that in my eyes would deem him to miss such a big game. And I thought his performance on Friday night was really up there with the best individual performances by a forward this season. It was just a remarkable effort. And who would have thought that Canberra would go to England, sign four players from a seemingly inferior Super League competition and have those four players, all of them, turn out to be stars and direct this Canberra Raiders in their first GF since 94. It's a remarkable story.
He's a special player, that Josh Hodgson, a very good player. Hey, the Dragons review, it's been handed down by Phil Gould. There's also the speculation around Shane Flanagan, who is allowed to be an assistant coach for 2020 and 2021. Is that a marriage made in heaven?
I think so, Jimmy. The mail I'm getting now is that there are basically two options. That would be Shane Flanagan coming in as an assistant coach, which, as you say, has now been submitted by the NRL, or Tim Sheen perhaps being considered as a coaching director. Look, Paul McGregor has the authority as head coach to determine his staff. So it will come down to Mary. I think initially there was perhaps a little bit of resistance from McGregor to bring in such a, how would I say it, well-known coach, a bloke that's won a premiership. It might be a little bit disconcerting for such a heavy shadow of Shane Flanagan to come in. But pick a fine, Paul McGregor is slowly but surely turning. There will be an announcement sometime early this week. And the mail I'm getting, guys, that Flanagan will be named as the assistant coach down there.
You know what's really interesting? So that would run in parallel with Paul McGregor having 2 years to run on his contract. Now he signed an extension during the course of the year, so 2020, 2021. So after that point, Shane Flanagan could easily take over, right?
No,
okay, so you have to be aware of that if you're Paul McGregor. The other thing to be aware of is this. What if you sack Paul McGregor after 1 year, your assistant coach can't take over
until 2021.
Until 2022. So in many ways, they've almost out-snookered themselves, if that is the way that things play out.
Mary's there for 2 years minimum.
Or Mary's there for 2 years and they extend him beyond that because he's doing a good job.
It'd be very interesting. As I said, I wouldn't say it's a power struggle. Quite clearly, they're both on the same side. But when you've got a bloke there whose credentials are actually better than the head coach, when he's the assistant, it can just throw off the equilibrium, I guess you could say, at the coaching roster. It's a bit of a weird setup. But look, Paul McGregor, you could argue, could do with a fresh set of eyes and a new body in there to look at things that perhaps he hasn't seen in the last year or two.
Yep, no, fair enough. Brodie Croft, is he going to the Broncos, Dino?
Yeah, he has met with the Broncos, Ray, but he's only 22. The key, though, here is, I understand, is they have to offload a player, and that player they're trying to get rid of is Jack Bird. So if Bird can get a new home, I think they'll sign Croft. If he can't, I don't think Brisbane has the room left in their cap to sign the young Melbourne halfback. Look, if Brodie Croft does go, it does give Anthony Seibold the new-look spine that he wants. It would mean that Milford would be fullback, Tom Dearden, and Brodie Croft would be in the halves, and young Jake Turpin would be the hooker. So Seibold has said several times since that debacle of a semi-final against Panama that he needed a new-look spine, a new-look side, and if he can get Croft, I think you'll find that that'd be how they line up to start next season.
Geez, I'm not convinced. I'm a bit like Zorba. I'm not convinced that Brodie Croft is the right man for that job, especially with Thomas Dearden. I think they're too similar in what they do. What about grand final in 2021? Going out there last night, and look, it's a brilliant cricket ground. It's great for the AFL. It's not great for rectangular sports, the SCG. The grand final's there in 2020. What are you hearing about 2021, Dino?
I think you'll find this debate will light up in the next week or so, Jimmy. Look, quite clearly, the delay in rebuilding ANZ Stadium means that we are, as a game, looking for a location for that 2021 grand final. The NRL is seeking compensation from the government because of those delays, and I hear that figure's around $20 million. So if they can get that money, I think you'll find I'll play it, albeit reluctantly, at the SCG, but if there's a sticking point over the money, the mail I'm getting is it's becoming increasingly likely that we will head north and that 2021 grand final will be at Suncorp Stadium. And as much as we hate Queensland down here, I think they would do an absolutely brilliant job up there. They'd make it a week-long festival. And if it does go north, I think, in a strange way, it would be great for the game.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
We don't have a God-given right, Jimmy, to have this
totally.
Here. We should be expanding and taking it elsewhere, in my eyes.
Yeah, no.
Like Origin.
I'm with you, Dino. I'm with you. This is groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking.
With you, Dino, 100%. Hey, Dino, we've got to fly, mate. We will speak next week. Now, just to let you know, Zorba came into the studio today. The offer and the invitation will be extended to you for next
week
for
grand
final
day. He's got a busy week, this is... Grand.
Oh, I'm there if there's petrol money.
Oh, but you could walk here.
I'd amuse them if they give me 70 cents a K. I'd want at least that, if not a touch more.
Apparently he just drives around Holt Street, just driving in circles.
Clocking
just
up the K's.
Clocking up the K's.
4 K's at 70 cents, that's $2.80. Take out tax, it's about $1.50.
You got it all worked out.
Thank you, Dino.
I think you'll figure I'll be at home.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dino.
See you, mate.
There he goes, Dean Bulldog Richie, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. I can tell you what, there's a lot of nervous people on the build-up to this Wentworthville versus Newtown Grand Final, and understandably so. I would think...
None more so than this, man.
Given your startling revelations that you made at the start of the program...
I hope Scotty wasn't listening to that.
Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons is on the phone. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, boys, and I'm a very happy man today.
Why is that, Scott?
When he won their grand final yesterday. But firstly, boys, I just want to congratulate Matty Foster, the younger brother, on his wedding last week. Even though he got married in semi-final time and in the middle of nowhere, it was great to see him get married, and I wish him all the best.
Terrific
so good,
stuff.
Good luck to him.
Well done, Matty.
The good thing is you weren't getting update on the Eels game, which was very disappointing for the Blue and Gold Army.
It was just a shock on Sunday morning when we read about it in the papers that was it 32-0? I didn't even want to go back to it. It was that bad.
No, that's exactly what it was. They were lucky to get that close. Now, tell us about the car that you got for the listeners today. We'll sell this.
Yeah, boys, we have a fantastic vehicle on special for the listeners. And as always, it's the cheapest one you're going to find anywhere. This is a 2012 Holden Captiva four-wheel drive, seven-seat wagon. Now, this is another one-owner vehicle. It comes with logbooks and service history, and it's in very, very good condition. It's a blue-silver colour with partial leather seats. It's got 18-inch alloy wheels, so the car looks great, but it's also very comfortable to drive. It's packed full of safety options. It has ABS brakes, six airbags, traction control, hill holder, hill descent control, self-leveling suspension, electronic brake force distribution, electronic stability program, and rear park sensors. You throw in the automatic climate control air conditioning, cruise control, a leather steering wheel, power sunroof and the third row of seats, and you've got one beautiful and safe four-wheel drive people mover. Now, boys, this is an absolute steal. It's on special for the listeners today. It's at the incredible price of just $7,990. This is cheap. It's a 2012 seven-seat, one-owner with logbooks and service history, and it's only $7,990. Call now on 9637 5024 or go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au.
And you can help with finance too, Scotty.
Yeah, boys, finance for this car or any of our cars or trucks. If it's finance you're after, we've got access to a number of lenders. It allows us to get the best possible rates, but it also allows us to help a lot of people that can't get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 9637 5024 and let us give you a help, get you into a car as soon as today.
And well done to Wente's Ron Massey Cup side, and a little shout out to Coach Brett Cook.
Yes, boys, mate, he's done a fantastic job. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday to the coach. I did just speak to him a bit earlier. They're about to hop on a bus, and I'm sure they're going to have a great day and enjoy their celebrations from yesterday. They had a massive win, beating St. Mary's 32-14 at Leichhardt Oval. And, boys, a massive effort. That was their third grand final win in a row, and that's a strong competition, that Ron Massey Cup. So well done to all the players and the coaching staff, because it's a massive effort. And for the club itself, boys, I think we've won seven competitions in the last 11 years. So it's massive effort from everyone involved there.
Yeah, it's outstanding. Can you believe that when he were 151-1 about
Scotty can.
4 or 5 weeks ago?
Boys, I think about it all day, and imagine how nervous some people would be today with when he's playing.
Can
Newtown
only imagine,
today.
Scotty.
Can you imagine how nervous some people would be, Scotty?
Yeah,
that's what he said.
I can't even go and watch.
I just imagine how some people would be nervous today, Scotty. But anyway,
I hope some of our listeners took the tip and got on when we were $151 before the end of the last round. I couldn't believe it. $151 to win the comp, and here we are in the grand final. So
just amazing,
good luck,
Scotty.
To Wenny, Rip Taylor, and of course Timmy Manor, who's probably playing one of his last games there. So good luck to them all.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Good on you, Scotty.
Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Certainly will, and boys, we'll be talking about Wenny playing the Queensland side next week before the NRL Grand Final.
Good on you, Scotty. We do appreciate that. Fosterswalitycars.com.au.
Righto, James.
Just a minute.
Oh, okay.
Mick Wallace is going to look at the meeting at Bathurst. Priscilla Looker is going to preview Port Macquarie. This is all coming up on Racing HQ. BSB back tomorrow morning at 5:30. By the way, daylight saving starts next Sunday morning, so we'll have to make mention of that for the Grand
Final. Best contributor on topic for the Wingman Beer.
Anthony from Malabar with his nomination.